Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Christmas special of Your Own Personal Beatles. A little bit delayed, ho ho ho. Sorry about that, but better late than never. Johnny White really is joining us yet again. Friend of the show. Hi, Johnny.
Hello.
And
hello.
Robin is also here.
Hello.
How's it all going? Good Christmases?
Oh, yeah. Seems like a long time ago.
You've got to give up for Christmas.
Yeah.
we're going to do this before Christmas, but due to a combination of illnesses and scheduling and life events and all that, it didn't happen. So here we are, and we're going to do a Beatles cover challenge, volume two. If you remember the format of the first one, we picked a Beatles song for each other to cover, covered said song, and then discussed the results therein. And it was really fun last time, so we thought we'd give it another go.
Yeah.
So we did actually record before Christmas when we gave each other our songs, but Johnny was on the Holloway Road somewhere.
I was an angel.
You're an angel. Okay.
You are an angel.
Forgive me.
I remember it well. I was walking around Angel on Zoom.
Yeah, and unfortunately the recording wasn't tip top, so we're gonna have to just do a quick sort of précis of the story so far. But we mixed it up a bit from last time, and Robin, you picked for Johnny, didn't you? Do you want to tell us what you picked for Johnny and why?
Sure. I picked Rain for Johnny to cover because it's a song I got kind of quite obsessed with when the Revolver box set came out. I love Rain. I've always loved Rain. It's such an interesting song. And I just thought it would suit Johnny's kind of vibe. So I'm really excited to hear his version of it.
Good stuff. And I picked for you. And I picked Only a Northern Song, which I just thought texturally you could do something interesting with. You're sort of probably more into the mid-George era than I am. I think we can all agree the later stuff is amazing. Yeah. But I think he doesn't really get good until sort of 1968, which is, you know, potentially a controversial opinion. So I'll be very interested to see what you do with it. It's got some interesting harmony and stuff going on.
Mm.
Johnny, you picked for me
Michelle. Because it has not only across the sort of range of notes, but across the... It's got the various ranges of a classic crooner song.
So it really does. And it is a song that I semi-regularly sing in the Palm Tree.
I didn't know that.
You regularly sing it with a semi.
It's not one of the core repertoire. I haven't actually sung in the Palm Tree for quite a while because the last time I did, I was so pissed. I was a bit embarrassed to go back.
Hard song to sing, isn't it?
It is a tricky song to sing. Mm. A lot of these Paul ones are trickier than you think because he's so effortless.
Mm.
They're sort of harder than you'd think, and there's lots of very small intervals which are quite hard to tune. So, like, range-wise, it's not massively difficult, but there's a lot of kind of range.
I saw a picture of Paul playing bass with a capo. I think that's what he played on Michelle.
You mean like from the Mafia?
Yeah.
Like a cafe.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, what's that interesting song? And I realised the photo's so well known that in Beatles world it's called like Bass Capo Day
or something.
Really? It's like that well known.
Yeah, we celebrate it every year.
I'm excited to hear your cover of Michelle.
Well, I'm excited to hear all of them. I've refrained from listening to them, even though you've sent them to me. So who shall we kick off with? Should we play rock, paper, scissors? See who...
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so on three.
Okay, is it on three?
How are we going to do that with three?
Winner stays on, I think.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Terrifying.
Okay. right. Okay.
So on three, you mean on three as in boom, boom.
One, two, and then reveal.
Yeah, because it always annoys me when Victoria Coren Mitchell in the music round of Only Connect says one, two, three, and then expects them to join on the fourth beat. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's a minor quibble.
Yeah.
With all the best will in the world, it's not a great radio format.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Ooh, Johnny wins. Us both.
I beat you both.
So I think
paper
that,
beats two
so
stone.
So I get to choose
I think you get
first.
To choose who goes first, yeah. Oh.
Michelle.
Goodness gracious.
Marbelle.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay, well, I'm glad to get mine out of the way.
Oh, I'm excited to hear it.
Here we go.
Let's do it. That was brilliant.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, it was quite traditional
in
terms of the arrangement.
That was exactly what I was hoping.
Oh, was it? Yeah, oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
You did a proper crooner version.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
That was wicked.
You can't do that song tongue in cheek.
Yeah. Well, this is what I realised. Because this was like the fourth version of it. I went back to the drawing board three times because I was trying to do something a bit more modern sounding, but it just doesn't suit it, and you can't, for the exercise of working out why these songs are so amazing, you can't actually do that much with it. There was one where I completely sort of reharmonized it, and that didn't really work because the point of what makes the song so interesting is it's like kind of jazzy, gypsy jazz kind of roots, and the fact that it's sort of like inherently parodic but yes. It's also managed to be quite... Well, it's like a parody.
Yeah.
Of, it was started as a little joke that Paul used to do at parties where he had a... It doesn't sound like a very good joke, but he used to pretend to be French and go up to people at like John's art school parties and just go like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, he'd learned a like diminished chord and tried to pull birds, basically. I mean, he would use the phrase birds, sorry about that.
Yeah.
But that's... I suppose, yeah, so when I said you can't do it ironically, it is a kind of tongue-in-cheek song, but I mean, it's hard to sing... With a sense of irony, because it's so hard to sing. You have to put everything into it, because the leaps are really good. You nailed those big leaps.
Yeah, the high notes are trickier than you'd think, because there's no run up to them, and it's all quite sort of soft. I mean, I belted it out a bit.
Yeah.
But it's quite a delicate song, and harmonically, it's really interesting. Obviously, the diminished seventh.
Mm.
Which is like obviously this new thing that he had found, which then George is like much more famous for later on.
Mm.
But harmonically, it's just, you know, it's classic Paul, really. It's like him not really trying, but still genius.
Mm.
And the kind of minor, major, I mean, it's really, I played it on the piano there.
Yeah, real piano by the sound of it.
No. That's the Abbey Road piano, that's the Mrs. Mills. Not the actual one, but the plug-in.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought it sounded like
because
a real
it's piano. Really hard to play it acoustically like they play it with the capo.
Yeah.
And the way that those chords sort of slide up. Mm. So the bass line in those kind of pivot things is going up. So if it's hard to explain the function of a diminished seventh if you're not like a kind of music nerd, but basically it's like a stack of minor thirds. So every inversion of the chord is identical, but the bass note changes. So without wanting to get like too into it, that's what he's kind of playing around with in it. And things like the guitar solo, you try and change them, and you can't really because they're brilliant.
Mm.
I just added a harmony part on the top of it, so it sort of plays in six, which I always sing in. Ever since I've heard this song, I've always sung that line in my head. During that,
wasn't that actually played on the bass? I don't know.
Maybe that's it's like a very rolled off toned, probably the Gretsch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sort of. I think the logic setting is cool jazz.
I use cool jazz,
which that is lovely. Great. It's great.
Really
cool
nice
jazz.
Production. Your voice was really sitting on top of it all.
Oh well, that's very kind. I'm not really very good at that stuff. Mm. But yeah, it was quite. It was funny how you just keep being pulled back to the arrangement that they did. I made an effort not to really listen to it, so I just did it completely from memory. And I was quite surprised how close it was in terms of, like, instrumentation. And the arrangement is pretty much, like, even the sort of simple stuff. I guess it's so in my brain.
Yeah.
That I would have wanted to get away from it and do something a bit more experimental.
Mm.
But it just kept pulled me back in.
I liked, it reminded me of the kind of way, you know, the way Brian Ferry is kind of a crooner, but there's an edge to it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It kind of reminded me of that in a way. It was very, very nicely done.
Thank you. I mean, I was sort of thinking if I'm going to go, because my voice naturally goes that way.
Mm.
And if I sort of lean into sort of more Scott Walker-y style, it kind of complements. I think you can't, if you're a trained singer, it's very hard to sing with any edge because you just had that drilled out of you.
I'd love to lean into Scott Walker. Mm. Great. Great French pronunciation too.
Yeah, that's quite tricky doing the French, because the way that French is written and spoken is very different to the way that it's sung. Mm. So if you have a word like ensemble, in French they would put quite a lot of emphasis on the bleu, so it's it's a different syllable.
Yeah.
Or like rire, it's always two different words in French. Obviously, Paul doesn't do it. So, but it's hard to make it sound like you're not trying to do a French accent.
Do you remember when you first heard it and I just thought it was English and I thought you were saying Sunday mucky, like something mucky. And then I realised it was, and I asked my French teacher to translate it and she wrote it on the blackboard.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, that's kind of odd. But what did you think, Johnny?
Absolutely fantastic. It exceeded my expectations No, it met my expectations and exceeded them. yeah, that was really good, man. That was great.
Oh,
was,
thanks, yeah.
It's a really hard song to do. Yeah. I don't think I could have done that one.
It was a lot harder than the last one.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere to hide, really. But in terms of like doing this compared to the song I did last time, which was Things We Said Today, which is, what, 2 years before this, or maybe even 18 months?
Oh, well.
This is so much more accomplished, like, compositionally.
Only a year.
Only a year.
Did you program the drums, or did you use Logic drummer?
They're just MIDI drums, yeah.
Oh, that's...
It all sounded great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you'd been in the lab.
The piano was like really... The piano sounded...
Yeah. Well, shout out to the Spitfire Abbey Road plugins, because they're amazing. That piano sound is just... I would be hard-pressed not to use it for everything, because it just sounds... Because you get the sound of the room of Abbey Road, which is...
See if you can get them for free if you say... Say
after
more
this.
Nice things about them.
Yeah. Well, we'll get on to plugins later.
Okay.
So quite a traditional version of it.
Absolutely fantastic.
10 on 10.
10 on 10. Hope you enjoyed it. Right, who should we do next then? Should we do rock, paper, scissors
Sure.
For us two?
You ready?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
you've sure. already, you've, yeah.
What?
Oh, well, yeah. Because Johnny's already won. Oh, yeah, right.
I already won.
You already won.
Sure, okay.
Okay.
I've already won.
Well, on three.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Two scissors.
One, two, three.
Oh,
Robin's
scissors
won.
Beats.
So paper. Do you want to listen to your own one or Johnny's one?
Can I get my one out of the way?
Yeah. Absolutely, okay. Let's do it.
And I'm afraid I've got 4 pages of notes as well after, but we don't have to go through all of it.
Of course we do.
But I'll, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, here is Robin's version of Only a Northern Song.
There's no one there.
you.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Thanks.
That's amazing.
It took ages.
It sounds like it took a while.
Spent far too long on it.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. I think the main thing was I wanted to capture... I mean, it's kind of a song about a song, so I wanted it,
yeah.
I wanted it to sound really tapey, so I wanted it to end with it kind of... like sounding almost like it was disintegrating at the end, and kind of that sort of had that kind of self-awareness thing going on.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
Oh, good.
How many guitar parts have you got going on there?
I did two acoustic parts and then two electric parts. I don't know. I was worried it just sounded a bit too 60s though. Listening back to it there, like
It sounds a bit more sort of peak George early 70s style, but then much more modern.
Mm.
But then it's obviously quite analogy.
Well, yeah, I guess, well, it's not analogy.
Yeah, but there's a lot of tapey effects and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
can I say I prefer it to the Beatles version? I think I do.
Cool.
The chord structure is much more sort of well-defined in that.
Yeah, I mean, I got very... I've got four pages of notes, but I'll go.
Put my notes at the top.
Yeah, I put my notes at the heading. To begin with, like for me, it was always a song where I would always get confused with "It's All Too Much" on Yellow Submarine. Like when I remember them, they're quite similar songs,
yeah.
And they're quite collagey and quite progressive, very experimental. But when I sort of sat down to work it out, I thought I started to find the chords so interesting. I mean, it's really, really interesting. I don't need to say it was recorded in February and April 1967. Maybe that's too much.
Well, your background.
Mine one was. But okay.
It did take a long time.
I think that an interesting point of comparison is If I Needed Someone, another great George song, which is based around the word if.
Right.
And if you start a song with the word if, you're basically saying you can't really trust anything that's happening in the rest of the song.
It's
really, really interesting. And so the kind of main reading of the song is it's like George in sort of tax man mode. Kind of he's complaining about his publishing about his publishing deal, and he's not getting as much money as Paul or John would off his own compositions. So there's that kind of that's the kind of route one reading of it.
Yeah.
But
when I said, like, I didn't mean it at all in a dismissive way when I say it's pretty.
Yeah.
Because it's none of the... There is a bit of ugliness to the original. And
totally,
in your version, I didn't feel that at all. It's a much more sort of ethereal and nicer... Like, it's such a lovely melody.
It's a beautiful melody,
It comes from a slightly spiky place.
Well, it is that... There is that grouchy George thing, but on another level, the more I listened to it and I learned there's this kind of... other much deeper level where he's actually sort of, it's about this kind of situationist thing of like, what is a song? If I play a chord that's wrong, what's making it wrong? It's still a song, you know, and it's kind of like slightly pointing towards that more White Album-y, Glass Onion-y kind of thing. It's quite Yoko.
A bit meta.
In a way. It's very meta, that kind of what makes this a song. It's a song because I say it's a song. Like it kind of, there's almost that incredible string band quality about it. Of like, they would like write lyrics by pulling Scrabble letters out of a bag.
Mm.
And there's something almost similar going on with Only a Northern Song, I think. Yeah, can I play the guitar?
Please.
Yeah. So the song's in A, but I sort of learnt it in G with a capo. And the great thing is it starts with that chord, and you know, it goes to a chord that's meant to sound wrong.
Mm.
And lots of online tabs say it's just the kind of minor two chord, which is like completely wrong. Mm. It's much more complicated than that. But Wikipedia say it's like a minor 7-11 chord, which would be like kind of basically like playing the open strings on the guitar.
But it's still got that G in the bottom, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's a really good YouTube guy called The Walrus. The Walrus was Danny. Mm-hmm. He says it's a D7 suspended fourth. So quite similar to the Hard Day's Night chord.
There you go. There it is.
And it's so good because it's such an ambiguous chord. So it does... in the original, it does sound like it's going wrong. But I just wanted to, I kind of kept on to that chord. I really like that. It's a really good chord, that. It's also used in Talk Talk After the Flood.
Ooh, lovely.
It's an F suspended, F7 suspended fourth. Just beautiful chord because it's between a major and a minor, isn't it? So yeah. It's very unsettled and unresolved.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's really beautiful. Yeah. Cool.
Do you think he was trying to find sort of the weirdest? Because I guess it doesn't sound that unconventional now.
No. But I think it's, again, it's George. George is really interested in chords. And I think that it's lovely that it's like the bit in Get Back where he's saying to Billy Preston, you know, what do you call an E with a C in it? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's kind of like interested in, when you're looking at the keyboard, what happens if I put my finger here as well? So I think in that second chord, he might be playing like an A in the left hand and a B minor in the right hand.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's literally this kind of this merging of things. It's really beautifully ambiguous, and it kind of accentuates this meaning of it sounding wrong, but it also being right. Mm. But the amazing thing about the chorus is the chorus is these really psychedelic chords, because it's quite Syd Barrett-y, I think.
Yeah.
Like that. Mm. And Pink Floyd were recording Piper at the Gates of Dawn, like almost simultaneously.
Next door.
next door. So there is something of that going on, I think. And they just done Carnival of Lights as well. So there's all this stuff going on. But the great thing about that chorus is his vocal melody stays the same. It stays on one note. So he's going... Doo, doo, doo. So it's like, it's literally telling the story of the song. It doesn't matter what chords I play.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So he's playing that. Do, 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 do. You know, so clever.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't really understand all that was going on until I kind of worked it out and everything.
What, have you got a Leslie? Is there some Leslie stuff going on towards the end? Or is that just the tape wobble?
It's some tape wobble. Use the J37... Waves tape thing. which was really good fun. Yeah, I just wanted it to sound like it was kind of going wrong. But the best quote I read about it, can I read out this? This is a really good... I love this quote, which is from the Hunter Davis book, which is George in 68. But it kind of sums up that idea that he was kind of basically pushing forward what you can achieve in a song.
Because
he says... He says he thought John's line about taking her knickers down in I Am the Walrus was great. And he says, why can't you have people fucking as well? It's going on everywhere in the world all the time. So why can't you mention it? It's just a word made up by people. It's meaningless in itself. Keep saying it. Fuck, 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 fuck. See? It doesn't mean a thing. So why can't you use it in a song? We will eventually. We haven't started yet. But there's something about that Only a Northern Song, because it's basically about, like, what can you achieve in a song? Why can't this be the song?
Sounds like a sort of Monty Python rant.
Yeah. But this is brilliant. This is Rob Chapman from Psychedelia and Other Colours. I really love this. It's great. Only a Northern Song is one of the most misunderstood and maligned works in the entire Beatles canon, conceived in the same curmudgeonly mood that inspired Taxman. A superficial reading of the song would suggest that it was merely Harrison's resentful response to not owning the publishing rights to his material. Ian MacDonald subscribes to this reading and dismisses the song in less than 7 lines in Revolution in the Head, calling it a self-indulgent dirge. as well as raising the question of when exactly a drone becomes a dirge. Love that. It was great. McDonald's curt analysis overlooks vital nuances. It's only in the song's chorus that Harrison actually comments on his material circumstances, as in his hair and his clothes. Mm. And even that comes with the caveat that it doesn't matter because ultimately nothing does, a very George Harrison thing to say in 1967. Dig beneath the grouchy surface and only a northern song is as much a comment on Harrison's spiritual quest as it is on the small print of his publishing contract. It is also utterly in keeping with the themes of disembodiment, disengagement and transcendence that inform most of his songs during this period. Only a Northern Song says as much about the illusory nature of existence as Tomorrow Never Knows, which is quite a bold claim. Mm. It also confronts something none of the Beatles' other psychedelic songs ever fully grapple with, the effect of listening to music on drugs. The chords are going wrong, the band are not quite right, the harmony is out of key, except they aren't, and it's not, and it's you listening late at night, blissed out of your brain. It's really cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so good. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't know.
It's interesting to see what its reputation would be if it was a John song.
Yeah.
I think people would look at it a bit more kindly.
Definitely.
I think Tomorrow Never Knows is quite a good comparison.
Definitely.
There's a lot of sort of single note stuff that you mentioned. Yeah. And
I think a lot of the time when a Beatles says, oh, that song was rubbish, or when they write off a song, that does tend to affect its reputation. And the fact I don't think it would have worked on Pepper. It's just not the right kind of song.
No, it's kind of good that it exists in its own kind of, I don't know, it wouldn't fit on any record. It's kind of perfect where it is.
Yeah, totally. But I think all the Sgt. Pepper songs are kind of doing something different. They're all kind of either, they're kind of like sketches in a comedy show, but they're all adding up to this whole, but Only a Northern Song is just a really good song.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Who's your drummer on that then? Is that programmed?
That's the Logic drummer, yeah.
The Logic drummer. Yeah. He's brilliant.
He's great. Very reliable man. Yeah.
In terms of the technical side of playing, was there anything that was like challenging?
Just working out that strange chord and how best to do it, really. But I mean, my voice is, I mean, so it's in A. The version on Anthology is really interesting. It's slightly sped up, so it's slightly above an A. But I played it in E flat and then tuned it down using the Verispeed. So it's between D and E flat. But I can't. I found it. I mean, it's a lot easier to sing than Michelle.
Well, that was amazing. Absolutely love that. So beautiful.
Thanks.
Good stuff. That will honestly change the way that I listen to that song.
Cool.
Every time I hear it. And that's the point of the exercise, I suppose, isn't it? Laughing and learning.
Yeah.
So, Johnny. Okay. Should we have a little listen to Rain?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right.
If the rain comes, they run and hide their heads. They might as well be dead. If the rain. If the rain comes, when the sun shines, they slip into the shade, and sit there.
Well, that was fabulous. I think we can all agree.
Amazing.
Incredible. I don't know where to start. Really beautiful. Really beautifully produced. You're saying you hadn't heard it in
speakers. I've never heard it.
Do you mix on headphones? So?
Yes, I've been. Well, I've got a plug-in which is like acts as speakers, like a fake speaker plug-in.
Right. So you put a lot of hours into it.
Yeah, I got really like So the weekend when we started making it, because the sort of bare bones of it I made basically, as in everything that happens tracking wise, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All of the vocal, all of the, and that's like those piano sounds are from a cassette that I've had for years that I've always been using for stuff.
Right.
It's my friend Rebecca's GCSE music piece.
It sounded so kind of.
And years ago. I've been using those piano sounds for like my whole life.
It literally sounds like a kind of very expensive piano sound plugin that I'm
getting
aggressively marketed on Instagram. You know, but you know what I mean. Like, has that incredible nostalgic quality.
Yeah, yeah. So all of that stuff happened quite quickly. And I was like, oh, I'll do, because I've worked out that I could do the melody, but rather than if I go one step up, I can make it sort of modal and more like sort of sad.
Mm.
And then
you can keep that tonic drone going the whole way through with that. There's not really any dissonance.
No. And then it's like afterwards, it was once that it was just like a lot of, I just kept. Basically, that's what I spent a long time doing that. I mean, is that, I don't know if that's good to say. I should say, oh no, that just took me like 2 minutes.
What's the vocal software?
It's called Vocaloid.
There's something in, because it does have that uncanny valley quality, it sounds so like human but not quite, that it kind of becomes its own thing.
And it worked quite well. When they sing together, it sounds especially nice.
Yeah.
How do you get them to say shy?
Well, you have to write it in. But they sort of say, it sounds like they're saying try, which I also quite like.
How do you spell shy?
I spell it shy and then -ie to get the I.
Oh, brilliant.
There's like a weird way you have to write it to get it to, I think I said it. And and then I left it with Can You Hear Me, because there's like another bit where there's like that's not the end of the song, but that's, I thought that would be the best, because that was me because I've been feeling quite depressed, and that I was really clinging to that, working on that song was like what I've been doing as like my thing to do, and that, so when it's saying Can You Hear Me, that's me trying to say it and it trying to say it to me, so I was like, I've had a very spiritual experience with that.
Well, it's a spiritual song. I mean, but that's the thing. It's like what you've done, which is so amazing, is that song is so, at the time, would have just sounded so transcendent and was really about expressing this very visionary, like drug-induced state. And now, you know, because it was like kind of the blueprint for basically how Oasis sound.
Yeah.
Sort of, when you listen to Rain now, it's kind of hard to think about how it might have sounded so fresh at the time. But what I feel like you've kind of given it that like freshness.
Well, and that kind of transportative quality of it. Now it just kind of slaps. That, like amazing fast bass line and stuff. But that like really felt like you could kind of take off. It reminded me of like Daydreaming, that Radiohead song that has that similar like piano looping thing that just sort of, you know, you come back to, you know, when it stops you have to shake yourself out a bit. But
yeah, what was the guitar, was that, were you playing the guitar in the background?
That's well the that's a version of, I mean this is bad because it's basically that's my version of In the Bleak Midwinter.
Right.
Which I just recorded anyway. And then I sort of, with a delay pedal just into my four track, this was years ago, And then I wanted to put guitar in it, and I listened to it back and was like, I could just, it just sounded, it had this, it hit the right notes over the top for the chorus. Mm. So that's what that is. And the end of that is, and it's quite, it's like quite kind of the ending bit. Is that quite sort of modal and sort of, but it just worked. So I was like, I just thought I'd just use that.
Reminded me of that first Loose Fur album, Jim Rook.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Tweedy, where the kind of the mix of these kind of almost incidental sounding guitar parts is quite high, and so it kind of focuses your mind in a weird way. It's like, why is this bit happening now? Kind of.
Yeah, it's quite loud, the guitar.
Yeah, but no, yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
Because it was like, I was kept trying to decide whether it was better for it to jump out, and I kept being like, "But is it normal to have things that are louder than something else?" Yeah. Like, you're not, and then I decided that she thought it would be like cool to, have, I don't know, have things sort of pulling your attention to different sides of the stereo spectrum.
Yeah, it was really beautiful, very beautifully mixed as well.
Thank you.
Were there any elements that the original that you made a conscious decision that, to get rid of? It's like that bass line, or, you know, because that's what it's kind of famous for, or you just got sort of stuck into the melody.
I just got It's once I decided I was gonna, because I had that loop on. I was originally gonna sing it. This is like, this is how it all, I always do the Vocaloid stuff, and everyone thinks it's like that's my first idea, but it's always that I'm originally gonna sing it.
Yeah.
Do you do it as like a scratch track?
And then I'm like, oh, actually, and I'm like, I'll just use the Vocaloid. And then when I thought, oh, I'll do the sort of higher, I'll change the melody slightly. And then once I did that, I couldn't really go back to the source of the song that much, because it was like I'd already took it to this other. I mean, I don't want to sound like, and I don't know, but either way, I'll just sound however it is I'm sounding, but. I realised I'd already took it sort of too far in one direction, so I couldn't really go too much back to the source and try and get more stuff out of it. It was just, I was like, at that point, I was like, I'll just use it as a kind of a... Have you ever read that Don DeLillo book, Underworld?
Yeah, the first 100 pages.
It's a bit where someone goes to see a bit of art in the desert, and the goes and just sees it for a second and then drives off again. And they talk about how that's just a good way of seeing something.
Right.
So, like, I thought I'd try to sort of limit my exposure to... I mean, I know the song, but I tried to limit my exposure to what my version and the original. So I just had a sort of spark of it, and then...
So how did you change the melody then? So the original is like...
So so I can't really sing.
Right.
But I did. I was like, made it like...
So if you... Yeah, the original, you need to have a chord change that's quite... So that you need... It needs to be like basically a 4-5, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is quite sort of harmonically boring. But yours is so open-ended, because it is... I'm rubbish with modes, but it is modal, isn't it? Sort of.
Yeah.
I've never understood what modal means, actually.
So modal would be like, you know, like a normal scale, it's like do 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 do. Yeah. It'd be modal, but like the, what's the fourth one? Lydian, do 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 do. Or Rapper's Delight. Dum boom 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 ba boom. That's Dorian mode.
Right.
Anything that sounds like a scale but weird.
Right.
Yeah, just things that aren't conventional. Like
that's how someone's gonna. That's gonna. If anyone out there is listening and knows, I'm so sorry for saying that, but that's how it feels to me.
Yeah.
Okay, Jack from the future here. I'm going to try and explain that a little bit better now I haven't had several cans. So basically, a mode is a type of scale, and a musical scale is a series of pitches in a distinct order. And the most common scale that we use is the diatonic major scale, which is all the white notes from C to C. And the distance between those pitches, the intervals between them, are different in different modes, essentially. So if you go from D to D in all of the white notes, that is the Dorian mode. But that obviously can be transposed into different keys. So what it means is that those intervals are a set sequence. I don't know if that is helpful at all, and I've probably explained it quite badly, but essentially that's it. Go to Wikipedia.
Oh, it was so good. It was quite moving.
I absolutely loved it. What is your? Are you a fan of the original? Is it?
Yes. Yeah.
What was your relationship to it? Was it one you grew up with?
Not really. No. I was a one I knew, but wasn't. It didn't hang heavy in my mind.
Mm.
But a real good one, and mainly I sort of liked what he was saying
about the weather.
Yeah, about the weather and about when I'm feeling more optimistic, I get this sort of pleased feeling when I confront that sort of, it's like sort of weird Zen / nihilism thing.
Mm.
It makes me feel happy when I'm feeling, it makes me feel awful in the middle of the night.
Mm.
But in the daytime, sometimes that's sort of what he's saying, I can really get on board with. So yeah, that's what I was drawing inspiration from.
I think this is in the Rob Chapman book again, but he mentions about how psychedelia is about this kind of, what it does very well is about the kind of the earthly and the divine kind of thing. Mm. So like, you know, in It's All Too Much, it's about, what's the line about coming back for tea or something? But Rain is about sipping, the line about sipping lemonade, which takes it totally back down to earth, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
But that's kind of that marriage of the...
It's very Lennon-y, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, absolutely beautiful. And three very different approaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Johnny, for joining us. And thanks, Robin, for your amazing efforts. Well, thank you so much, guys. Really, really enjoyed, no pun intended, listening to those. They're absolutely amazing. We'll make them available for you to listen somewhere on Personal Beatles. Keep an eye on our socials and stuff for a link to them. Any last words, Robin? You look like you're about to read something off your phone.
Yeah, set me on a silver sun, for I know that I'm free. Show me that I'm everywhere and get me home for tea.
Is that from the Wikipedia for the film Arachnophobia?
Yeah, it is.
It's a bit of the production section.
You keep editing it, don't you?
Thanks, guys, very much for having me. That's been one of the best experiences of my life, has been making that song.
Wow.
Not great. Kidding.
There you go, high praise. Well, maybe we'll be able to coax you back next year.
You try and keep me away.
Well, one day we'll have a whole blue and red album of these. Yeah. 60. Thanks for listening. We love you. Bye-bye. Bye. KBO.
KBO. Keep beetling on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.